Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I feel like this is a new music bed. I like it. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone's having a great day. We're going to talk to Peter King coming up in a little bit. You know, I saw this story yesterday. This was kind of like the worst-kept secret in horse racing, Yurk. Churchill Downs is officially put Arlington Park up for sale. We've discussed this. Our buddy Brian Hanley, who's on the station on the weekends and fills in a lot, does the hockey show and other stuff on the weekend. And Brian's pretty connected in the horse world. He goes down to South Florida a lot. He's got some interest and investment down there, and he's pretty connected. And, you know, Brian has mentioned this in the past that, you know, there's some buzz that, you know, not only is Churchill going to put it up for sale, but that the Bears are going to be the buyer of Arlington Park and finally build their own stadium. So Peter's ready. We'll circle back to that. I want to read some stuff. I read an article this morning in the Daily Herald detailing it greatly. Obviously, almost 100 years of history of horse racing in Arlington Heights with beautiful Arlington Park, and that is going to come to a close. They're going to run the races this summer. They have said that. It's, the pending sale's not going to affect that, but this is probably going to be the last summer of racing. But I want to talk about the Bears' connection to it a little bit later on. But let's get out to the Corona Hotline and say hi to one of our favorites and one of the most plugged-in guys in the National Football League. Every Monday, I read his Football Morning in America column, and there was some interesting stuff this week about Deshaun Watson and the teams that will be involved. Peter King joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Happy to join you guys on the Corona Hotline,
yes,
baby.
That's it. We need a nice cold Corona right now, don't we?
We need
so
two.
You had
5 o'clock somewhere.
It's
is
always
what they say.
That's always the case, my man. It is 5 o'clock somewhere. You had us talking a lot on Monday morning because we were reading the article, and I mean, and I know you're spitballing. I mean, but like, you know, the idea of what it's going to take to pull off a trade for Deshaun Watson, if indeed Houston even makes him available, which you kind of covered in your story. I mean, it's going to be unprecedented, right, Peter? There really is. We've seen big trades before. We've seen a real famous one with Herschel Walker in Dallas and Minnesota. But there's no comp ever in NFL history to a player like Deshaun Watson getting traded, is there?
Yeah, there's no real comparison to a 25-year-old franchise quarterback in his prime coming off his best season. A great guy. And you know, most popular guy on the team, everything like that. He's got it all. The only remote comparison, which is a weird one, is Steve Young. Steve Young was traded in 1987 for a 2 and a 4 from Tampa to San Francisco. But at the time, Steve Young was on a horrible Tampa Bay team, and no one really knew if he was going to be great, because he hadn't played great. He'd been in the USFL and then just briefly with Tampa, and Bill Walsh basically stole him. But there just hasn't been – there have been some big quarterback trades, but there haven't been any that really are like this one, because of how good this guy is in the golden age of quarterbacks and how young he is.
If Houston at some point does come out and say, okay, we're going to trade him, how many teams make calls?
15 at least, I would think. Because, you know, you don't ever want to think. I mean, like, let's just say you're the Bears, all right? You've obviously got a call. But the Bears, one of the reasons that I kind of downplayed them in the Deshaun Watson Derby is that, compared to all the other teams that might be able to make offers, what do they have to offer?
Right.
They don't have a quarterback. I mean, unless they could convince Houston to take Nick Foles as a bridge guy while they draft somebody. Plus, they have the 20th pick in the draft. Look at all the other teams that have great picks in the draft. So that's why I think it would be difficult. I mean, nothing's impossible. But that's why I think it would be difficult for the Bears to put a package together that would contend with some other teams. Like, for instance, Carolina, it fits too perfectly for them not to be an absolute prime player. you know, because their new owner, David Tepper, is a Jerry Jones type guy. Let's swing for the fences. And I do think that there was some dissatisfaction, not I shouldn't say dissatisfaction, but slight disappointment with how Teddy Bridgewater played last year. So they're going to be in the market for a quarterback anyway. Why not see if you can put together a package that'll get you the best one?
This is relatively new, players demanding that they want out, they want here. What's it do to the health of the league?
Yurko, I was just talking last night to Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets and Jets GM, Dolphins VP of football ops. And,
sure. Yes.
And he really thinks we were at a seminal time in NFL history, because essentially here's what we have seen in the last 12 months. We've seen maybe the greatest quarterback of all time walk away from the Patriots by his choice. Okay.
Right.
We have seen Matthew Stafford, a good and at times very good quarterback, but he's just never done anything in the postseason, walk away in his prime, tell his team, I want out. His team agreed, and they made a huge trade for another starting quarterback. And then, obviously, you got Carson Wentz, who, in my opinion, didn't show a very good side of himself by not trying to fight his way back to get his starting job, but instead saying, I want out. I mean, it seems to me that is the fashionable way. Here's the only thing about this Watson thing from Watson's standpoint that really bugs me. Okay? On Labor Day weekend, he took a contract that paid him $27 million over the first 5 months of the deal, over the first season of the deal. Okay? And then it's almost like he woke up one morning because one bad thing happened to him. And, you know, he thinks he got jobbed or misled by the owner of the team. And he says, all of a sudden, I'm never playing for you again. And, you know, I don't like that too much. You know, why would any team in the NFL now sign a player long term, particularly a quarterback? You know, look at the cap jail that the Eagles are in because they felt like they had no choice but to trade Carson Wentz. Hmm. This is a bad cap year anyway, and they're a guy who's not playing for him is taking up 19% of the cap this year. So what would motivate a team to sign a player long term? To me, it is a tremendous advantage for the players of this league if the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson, because now anybody can say, if Deshaun Watson says I want out and he gets out, I'm just telling you, Yurko,
yeah,
there are 31 other franchises in the league who are sending karma Nick Caserio's way, the general manager of the Texans. Don't trade him. Don't trade him. Stay strong. Stay strong. Hmm. And we'll see if they do.
That's interesting. Peter King's our guest on ESPN 1000, Carmen and Yurko. Can it really only happen with the quarterback position, though, in the NFL, Peter? Or can it spread to other, you know, like we know why it happens in the NBA. The player does have all the power. The stars are the players. That one singular player can make so much of a difference. In the NFL, it would appear to me to be different unless you're talking about a high-level quarterback. So are they really the only ones that can sort of force their way into a better situation?
Why couldn't, you know, 2 years from now, a year from now, why couldn't Chase Young say to Ron Rivera, hey, Ron, you know, I'm not playing next year. Hmm. I want out. There's no reason why it only has to be a quarterback. But again, I think we're way too early in this to say that absolutely categorically that it's decline of Western civilization in the NFL. I think a few more things, a few more heads would have to, or, you know, a few more people would have to be traded before I think you can say categorically that this has happened.
Like, what about Russell Wilson? We've heard some buzz that he's a little unhappy.
Yeah.
Like, is that kind of what you're talking about? Or is he just sort of playing the game through the media because he'd like a few things to change there? I mean, like, where's his mindset?
I think his mindset is, I think he feels unappreciated. And here's the one thing about Russell Wilson. He's always kind of, I saw somebody, I forget, one of the, and I'm not saying this disrespectfully, but one football expert, I forget who it was, put out his ratings of franchise quarterbacks and then the next wave and all this stuff. And so Russell Wilson was not in the top five. And I think what happens to Russell Wilson is that he feels, that's how he feels, that he was drafted 75th overall in 2012. In the 9 years since, he has never missed a start for his team. He's led him to seven or eight playoff seasons.
Right.
They won a Super Bowl. They lost another Super Bowl. But be that as it may, I just think he feels like this team says, oh, you know, Russell, get us out of the jam. Don't worry. We'll be okay. And I think he's tired of that. I think the one other thing about him is that if you saw him at the Super Bowl, now I was at the Super Bowl and I glanced up at the TV at one point, and there's Russell Wilson and his wife sitting in Roger Goodell's box. And just the look on his face, even though he had a mask on, he looked miserable.
He did.
He looked totally miserable.
Yeah.
And I think he is a guy who looks at Tom Brady and said, man, this guy parachuted onto a great team. I wish I could do that.
Hmm. So do you think when push comes to shove here as we get into the spring, maybe right around the draft, I mean, like, is Houston going to have to open this up and say, all right, we're going to trade him because he, you know, they know the player's just determined to not ever play there again? Because I know you wrote that they're not even saying, hey, let's tweak
they're
the offer.
Answering.
I mean, they're like, they're
right.
just, there's no response, right? I mean, like, are
no response. Yeah. I'll give you my gut feeling. My gut feeling is Nick Caserio is going to hold firm and he's not going to trade him.
Okay.
But, you know, there's also May, June, July, and August. You know, there's a lot of time for mayhem to develop. And just because he isn't traded by the draft, it doesn't mean he wouldn't be traded by the start of the season. But just my gut feeling, especially Caserio having been birthed in this league under Bill Belichick, who was never afraid to make a tough stand or to make a difficult decision, I won't be surprised. But guys, I have to tell you, I do not know. I don't know what's going to happen. None of us know because we're really in uncharted waters. Nobody has ever traded a top-of-market franchise quarterback at age 25.
I'll ask you one thing about the Bears, too, and that's about their best offensive player, Allen Robinson, who can be tagged. I mean, what do you think the most likely outcome is, Peter, between the Bears and Allen Robinson?
You know, the one thing that we don't know, the three of us really don't know, is kind of the personal relationship. You get the feeling that Robinson feels slighted, you know, from things that you hear, things that, you know, are out there in the ether. And so you wonder what his reaction is going to be to getting tagged. And look, there's no question he is a great player. And he's easily, far and away, the best player they have on their offense. And to me, if I were Ryan Pace, I'd probably tag him.
Yeah.
Much to his chagrin, but it's one of those things that you just really don't want to give that asset away.
Peter, always a pleasure. Be well, and thanks for the time.
Hey, all the best, guys. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you later. There's Peter King, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports. And, yeah, I mean, I think he's right, too, and I think we've all sort of known that it probably does bug Allen Robinson a little bit. I mean, we can give you the stats a lot. Look, I think he passes the eye test for all of us, first of all. We all know Allen Robinson's a really good wide receiver. And when, you know, you have an offense that's been as bad as the Bears' offense has been, but you still see one guy contribute. I mean, maybe you say, well, somebody's got to contribute. With no real skill, somebody's got to do it. I don't know. But in an offense that's brutal for me to go 2 years with 200 catches and 2,400 yards and 13 touchdowns, I could see why he probably feels a little unappreciated, I guess.
So
that
he's
he doesn't
being told
have a contract.
He's not Kyle Allen. That's what he's being told, right? Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
Yes, I was like, Kyle Allen. Keenan Allen. Yes, I guess that's what he's being told, Jerk.
Yes. You are not worth $80 million over 4 years.
And I think that's what bugs him. And so is there some sort of compromise that can still happen? Let us know what you think about it. 312-332-3776. And back to something that we briefly started discussing right before Peter hopped on. Is the real estate now available for the Bears to finally build their own stadium? And do they want to? We'll discuss that coming up next.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a great Wednesday. Watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app, search ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's Carmen and Yurko. Can hit us up on Twitter. Yurko is at Yurko64. That's Yurko with the J and the number 64. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. We were briefly talking about this before Peter King jumped on with us, Yurk. And this, I was reading this in the Daily Herald this morning. I heard Waddle and Sylvie actually make note of it during a truncated Waddle's World yesterday. Long expected by racing industry observers and feared by horse owners, trainers, and fans, Arlington International Racecourse's status as a gem of the sport of kings is about to come to the finish line. Churchill Downs, owner of the storied Arlington Heights track, where horses have raced since 1927, announced Tuesday its plans to put the 326 acres near Euclid Avenue and Wilkie Road up for sale. Churchill will use Chicago-based real estate firm CBRE to market the quote-unquote redevelopment opportunity. And after previously casting doubt on whether a 2021 race meet would be held, Churchill officials did commit to running Arlington's 68 live race dates, scheduled from April 30th to September 25th. They said they don't expect the sale to close before the end of the race meet or that the sale process will affect Arlington's racing operations this year. Arlington's ideal location in Chicago's northwest suburbs, together with direct access to downtown Chicago via the Metro Rail station, presents a unique redevelopment opportunity, Churchill Downs CEO Bill Karstegen said. I hope I'm saying his last name right. We expect to see robust interest in the site and look forward to working with potential buyers in collaboration with the Village of Arlington Heights. Will the buyer be the Chicago Bears Football Club? That has been the buzz in some horse racing circles, as Brian Hanley has talked about and written about and has talked about on this station for quite some time.
It would be a shift in the way they think. I remember talking with Scotty Hagel back in the day, and he's moved on up to the vice president of something.
Communications
he is,
and broadcasting, yes. Very high.
He is up there now.
Yes.
And I remember chatting with him. He goes, well, you also have to remember we don't also have a lot of costs with running a facility and stuff like that. And they kind of enjoyed not having that complicated process of running this thing. But now over the course of time, I've seen that it's a revenue maker.
Right.
And if you have it out there in Arlington with the access to Metro and the trains from downtown and the suburbs and, you know, the access that you have right off 53, maybe it's a little bit more appealing now to go ahead and have your own facility, also with a chance to generate revenue 365 days a year.
That's the key.
Not just during the football season.
I think you just hit on it more than anything. Now you can build a state-of-the-art facility with a roof that can close
yes.
so that you can have a Final Four.
Yep.
Now you're talking about concerts and events year-round. You're
yes.
talking about boxing, MMA, whatever it is.
Yes.
There will be a time when we're all back together. I promise you. It will happen. Believe it. And there'll be a time when it's going to be very easy again to fill an 80,000-seat stadium for many different types of events. And look, what do I really know about it? I read what in Forbes or other places that every year when they do their evaluations, sort of they're baffled by the fact that the Bears don't have more revenue streams. That they, you know, like you could read their last one. I'll even bring it up too. Like their last one from 2019. You know, where they talk about how the Packers generate more revenue. Look at what the Packers do in a small in a town of 100,000 people.
Well, they've got 80,000 seats.
They've got 80,000 seats.
80,000 seats. They have a restaurant that's open nonstop. They've got venues open for weddings.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they've got banquet rooms that people want to get married at Lambeau Field. That's the way this works. And, yes, it is a cash machine. Remember, 100% of the revenue generated in the Packer Pro Shop is Green Bay Packers.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
They don't share any of that. What you sell at your facility, on your site, at your stadium, is 100% your money.
So, like, your NFL.com, that's shared. But when it's sold in your stadium, that's your money? Is that right? That's the way the licensing agreement goes? Okay. So here, this is Forbes from, you know, their last valuation, okay? And the Bears are valued at $3.525 billion, okay? Despite playing in the third biggest market, the Bears continue to underperform financially. There's the lead. Despite playing in the third biggest market, the Bears continue to underperform financially. Their revenue of $477 million ranks 10th overall behind small market Green Bay, and was exactly league average in 2019. Soldier Field's capacity of 61,500 is the smallest of any current NFL stadium. And the team's sponsorship revenue also significantly trails the league's top teams. The Bears have made only, now you kind of get into like the playoffs and the blah, 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 and some of the other stuff. But from a business standpoint, is there anything there that makes you go, wow, the Bears really know how to do it? Yeah. Anything that Ted Phillips is supposed to be in charge of? Is there anything there that tells you, well, boy, the Bears hit a home run? They're the third, they're the charter franchise. They're the third biggest market without another team, mind you.
Right. The only team.
Okay. New York, the biggest market, has two teams. LA, the second biggest market, has two teams. So the Bears are the only big market that has no competition within it. And they will never allow it. Another football team professionally in the National Football League
will never come to Chicago. It'll have to be a different league.
They are the only one without any competition, and they underperform, period. And a lot of that, not only do they underperform on the field, we know that. We know the all kinds of suck that this franchise has given us as fans over these many years, with their six measly playoff appearances or whatever it is, seven since Coach Ditka left, which was going on 30 years ago. Okay? We know that. But they can't even perform like a big market team. They don't own their stadium. It's a joke. And I bet you we'll get a bunch of calls now that say, well, the Bears can't play. What are you guys talking about? The Bears can't play in Arlington Heights. Why not?
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can.
Sure they can. They absolutely can.
Yes.
And it could be beneficial for the franchise.
And look, Soldier Field doesn't have to go anywhere.
Well, I don't say it wouldn't. The Soldier Field stays where it is.
They can figure something out.
The fire use it. Concerts use it.
Yep.
Of course. The Park District will continue to have people interested in using Soldier Field. But how this franchise doesn't own its own stadium is shocking. And if it generates more revenue and because of that, you become better, that's what we should all be hoping for as Bears fans. Not where you have to travel to see the game. Mellor's a season ticket holder. Would you not travel to Arlington Heights?
Are you ready for this state that's broke to be leveraged by the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, we'll pay for it. You're a season ticket holder?
Oh, I mean, like we were having a conversation this morning about the idea of both the Bears and maybe the Sox moving to Arlington Heights. And I pushed back as a Sox fan saying I want no part of traveling to Arlington Heights for the Sox. For the Bears, it's a different story.
Once a week.
Because it's once a week. And the reality is that anybody who drives to a Bears game knows how much of a disaster it is to get in and out. If you're not tailgating for a Bears game when you're attending it, and with the idea that this is going to be an entire day's outing, it's a pain in the ass. I mean, you're talking, you got to give yourself an hour to get wherever you're parking, unless you're on the Walden deck, which I occasionally will do, but you have to splurge. You know,
it's $100, right? Or something.
Yeah, I think it's like $50-$75, but here's the thing. If you buy in the secondary market, it's $200.
I got you.
So, like, if you're not parking there, wherever you're going to end up in the parking lots, you have to account for 30 minutes to get through the gates to be patted down and checked. Yep, and then, so, I mean, that's just you have to be at Soldier Field by 11:30 if it's a noon kick. So you have then also take into account, where am I coming from? I probably have to leave by 10:30 if I want to be ready to go realistically, feasibly in my seats for kickoff. So 10:30. And then when you're trying to get out, if you get out by 3:15, you're not probably back at your car until 3:45, 4 o'clock. So going to a Bears game at Soldier Field, I'm not exaggerating, is essentially 10 a.m., and I don't plan on walking through the door till 5:30.
That's a long Sunday.
It's your entire day.
Your whole day.
And like, that is unique to Soldier Field. Other stadiums, I've been to other stadiums around the NFL. It is not a seven-hour commitment to be door-to-door.
The only other one that, to me, I've ever experienced that was as bad, and people always knew it, and we knew it, and we planned accordingly. We fired up the grills again when the game was over, was New England.
Yeah.
But I was there. Sylvie and I were there with some friends, with Burger, with Perry.
Pork chop,
yes. We were there in 2006 when the Bears played the Patriots. I believe a lot has changed. I think a lot of the infrastructure around there has changed. There's actually more in and out of there now.
It used to be a nightmare to get in and out of
it. And we knew that. Everybody told us that.
One road in, one road out.
And we literally fired up the grills afterwards, so we killed some time. But like that's the Bears for every week if you're going to Soldier Field. I mean, And I haven't been to every stadium, but I've been to around the league. And
I didn't park at the Waldron Deck. I parked elsewhere. And the walk,
it's brutal.
No matter what you do. Then you get to Michigan Avenue. And then it doesn't matter if you have Uber.
No.
Doesn't matter because there's 87,000 people trying to get their own Ubers.
It's brutal. So, are the Bears going to be one of the potential buyers of this piece of property? And could they build a great, brand-new, state-of-the-art stadium that would host multiple events year-round? Then Yurko gets into the other talking point, and that's, the state that has no money,
going to provide.
Well, the county, I guess, is more broke than the state, right?
Well, unfortunately.
It'd be out of Cook. Arlington Heights is not Cook County anymore, right? Is that, or is it? Arlington Heights probably is Cook County.
Yeah, Arlington is Cook.
Yeah, because you're south of Lake Cook Road.
Fortunately, now for the state, the $1.9 trillion underfunded pension.
Yes.
Bill that's passing through Congress. They're calling it the COVID bill, but it's the underfunded pension bill that's passing through Congress. That might help take care of Illinois' issue with the pension debt that they have.
So they won't be as broke?
So they won't be as broke.
Okay.
So maybe after that funding comes through.
Yurko brings up the other part of it. We got to pay for it then, though. Yeah. We are going to pay for this new stadium if we want to have it built as Bears fans.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, fans? But we hear it all the time. Like, well, I'm not going to Arlington Park. If you're a season ticket holder, what would you do? Would you be upset? Would you embrace it? I heard Black yesterday with Waddle and Sylvie. He's a season ticket holder. I'd go. No problem. Mellon, he's keeping his tickets. He's going Arlington Heights.
I live in LaGrange. Black lives in the city.
He does.
And we both admit going to Arlington Heights would probably be easier.
Black lives in the South.
Navigating ourselves to and from Soldier Field in and out. It's a nightmare.
Arlington Heights is better for these guys. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Buddy Mike Strauss checked in and said, getting out of Washington Stadium is not an easy one. I haven't been to Washington Stadium. You know, Yurko never played in Washington,
never
right?
Never played in Washington. 10 never
years.
Played against Washington.
How about that? Yurko, 10 years in the league, all those years in the NFC in Green Bay, and Yurko never played the Washington Redskins.
Never played in Indianapolis, ever.
Just the Washington football team now. Never played in Indy.
Never played in Indy. Ever.
How could that be? You were in the division.
Never went to
you
Seattle. Hurt? No, they weren't in our division.
Oh, they weren't in your division?
They
that was
in
realigned?
Our division. Yeah.
Boy, I'm trying to remember. Well, what did your division look like then?
Our division was Cincinnati.
Steelers, right?
Pittsburgh. You guys.
Cincinnati, Pittsburgh,
Browns.
Houston.
Oh, and Houston.
Yeah.
And Browns, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to remember whether the Browns were the Browns.
Well, they must have been, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were.
Wow, that's
crazy. Or were the Browns not in the league at that point when you were on the Jags?
Yeah, they weren't in the league.
That was the little point.
When Baltimore.
They moved to Baltimore and the Browns.
Oh,
and the Browns weren't in the league yet.
I got you.
And when the Browns came back,
that's when they realigned everything.
Yes,
I got you.
Baltimore Ravens, we played twice a year. Thank you.
So that's amazing. A few places you never played all those years in the league.
Baltimore, I played in three different stadiums.
Go figure,
Same thing with Tennessee. I played at Vanderbilt Stadium for no apparent reason.
How about that? But he never played Washington. All right, Rick's a season ticket holder. He's in McHenry. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Yeah, I'd like to chime in with that.
Yep.
Soldier Field, I'd be okay with Arlington Heights, obviously, being out here in McHenry. But, Yeah, I mean, for us, it's an all-day deal. We're getting ready at 6, 7 o'clock in the morning and getting home at 8 o'clock at night.
I bet.
And getting out of Soldier Field, like you said. That Philadelphia playoff game, we were in line for 2 hours to get in. There's too many entities, you know, with Soldier Field. If just the Bears owned it, I think that would be better because there's just too much going on there with the people that park, the Monterey security.
Yeah.
Got off-duty police officer. You got a lot of things going on there.
Yeah. And, Rick, it's an excellent point. Do you go to all 8 games, Rick, or do you sell some? How many games do you go to?
I go to 5 to 8 games a year.
Okay, so you go to a lot of them. Rick, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. Just think about like a modern stadium, too, in the amenities and maybe easier ins and outs for everybody, right? Like Soldier Field is, and it's better than the old Soldier. I mean, you used to not be able to go to the bathrooms. Remember the old? I mean, it was.
Oh, yeah.
You literally could not go to the bathroom during the game. You'd miss a quarter of football.
Right.
Maybe more if you try to go to the bathroom. I don't go to Soldier much, to be honest. I haven't seen a Bears game in Soldier Field, I don't think, since 2006, that season. I mean, I've seen them on the road. That's normally what we like to do. I don't want to go to Soldier Field. I want to watch football at home. Like, is it better now going to the bathroom, Mel, or is it still a nightmare?
It's better, but I'm no joke. Okay, hold on. Generally, because I'm driving, I don't drink heavily. Right. I know a lot of people do when they go to the game.
You
I don't,
think?
Well, I'm just saying, I personally don't drink heavily when I go to the game.
Right.
So usually, I go before, and if I can avoid it, I try not
to avoid it.
Because
I've gone in there. It isn't that bad.
It's not terrible.
Two games, a couple in 2018.
So it's not like the old stadium.
Yeah.
But right. you know what it is I highly recommend picking your moments. Do not go at halftime.
Well, that's ridiculous.
If you go at halftime, you're going to spend 7 minutes into the third quarter until you're back in your seats.
Yeah.
Whereas you're better off. You know what? If you have
going
to go,
in your pants,
stadium, well, the old stadium bell,
stadium pal.
Or you just,
pal.
You know what you do is you 2 minutes when the 2 minute at the second quarter, right before the warning bail, be the first one in.
I mean, can you imagine a nice stadium? You take your jacket off in December if they close the roof. There's more bathrooms, easier access, big walkways and concourses and all the things that the stadium now just doesn't have. Let's go to Barry's in Park Ridge. He's another season ticket holder. What's up, Barry?
Yeah. Hello, gentlemen. I've been a season ticket holder. I've got my plaque. I know you're happy for me. I've been to both Super Bowls and the playoffs and stuff. Long story short, and this is a little bit of history, if you wonder why the Bears hang on to Phillips. When the last lease was ending for the Park District, Michael McCaskey had 10 years to do a new program, move somewhere else, whatever. He managed to offend Daley, who was mayor at the time.
Right.
He managed to tick off the mayor of Arlington Heights. And if you wonder why Michael got fired by his mom, it's because of the 10 years he wasted 9. And so with a year to go, they turned to Phillips, and he made it happen at Soldier Field. It looks terrible. It's stupid. But they were entertaining, even at that time, to go to Arlington Heights. But Michael McCaskey messed it all up.
So what would you do, Barry? What would you do as a longtime season ticket holder? Would you be okay with it?
Yeah, I would go. I mean, part of my thing for my business, and I still work, is I drive for a living. It's not a big deal. I know what the route is. I know, you know, right off the highway, there's you know, Arlington Heights Park, or Arlington Park, sorry. And it's not a big to-do. Because, like you mentioned earlier, you only go to a game once a week, and there's road games, so, you know, you can plan for it.
Yep.
As far as the bathroom, he's right. 2 minutes to go, unless the Bears have the ball, I'm off to the bathroom. And I'm lucky because where I sit, I'm close by. I'm in 332 in the 8th row. So they're good seats. Get a good perspective.
So unless they're in, on the opponent's side of the field, driving with under 2 minutes to go. I got ponies on the mind, Yurko. Barry's going to the bathroom. Barry, thanks for checking in, buddy. We appreciate it. Let's say hi to Kevin in Lamont. I believe another season ticket holder. He is. What's up, Kev?
How you doing, guys? Great day. I should be on the golf course. This weather's beautiful.
I mean, how about it?
Yeah, it's soaked.
Yesterday, I stopped at Costco. Nobody's wearing a coat. I mean, it's like only in Chicago. It's 40 degrees. We don't have coats on. I love it.
Cog Hill's right here. I'm going to go hit a bucket after I have a few jars. But
there you go.
Yeah, no. 30-year season ticket holder. I'm not even going to get into the frustrations with the whole organization because you guys have said it all so and very well stated, but I would 100% go to Arlington Heights. You know, we tailgate. You know, we make it a 10-12 hour day. You know, we're in tailgating. I'm greasing the guys, passing out cigars, and we're ready to start tailgating at 7 o'clock when they open up the lot. So, wow. You know, we're in all day. I mean, that's been a tradition. That's been, my father had season tickets at Wrigley. They're in the family. They're in my name, and I'll will them to somebody. God forbid I don't die, you know, until I'm up by 90. You know, we'll probably have one more Super Bowl.
I was just going to say, Kev, hopefully we get at least one more by then. Kevin, thank you very much for checking in. 30 years in the family, going all the way back to Soldier Field, and he still has them, and he's going to hold on to them. But, yeah, I know guys like Kevin that make it. You know, Meller talked about the long day, 10 to 5. I know guys like Kev that do, they're down there by 8 o'clock. They're tailgating afterwards till 4 or 5. Then they head home. I'm like, how the hell do you guys do it?
I'll be honest. Like, I give you the 10 to 5. That's like a compressed in and out. That's almost in and out for me. Like, that's about the best I can expect.
That's amazing.
If you want a lot for like a realistic time frame.
Day.
I'm telling you, it's crazy. Now, if I'm going and I'm really thinking about it, I'm not worried about, okay, I need to get in and out. I'd probably, like he said, you may as well start tailgating at 8:30 in the morning and just make a day of it if that's your plan. Some days, though, if you go to 6 or 7 games a year, you don't want your whole Sunday to be spent at Soldier Field, half of it in the parking lot.
Hmm. Andrew Meyer says, best stadium to pee, Atlanta. Literally last row of the stadium at the top end of the first quarter, full stadium, went to the bathroom, got beer back in my seat at the start of the second quarter. Amazing. Well, that's a new stadium. Maybe they have a ton of bathrooms.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Brand new billion-dollar stadium. You got a ton of bathrooms.
If you're a new stadium, you've got twice as many bathrooms for the ladies as you do for the men, don't you? Because you ever seen the women just wait nonstop?
Oh, yeah. Those can be bad. Yeah.
They don't have the ease of the urinal.
Right,
they have the
right,
stalls.
Yes,
so, it takes a lot longer.
A little bit more complicated.
Atlanta also, I believe, the best menu prices, too, across the league.
Atlanta does?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
They have the best prices, fan-friendly prices, across football.
All right. We'll take more of your phone calls, Bears fans. I knew it. I knew Bears fans. But so far, we have Bears fans saying, hey, look, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm in. Sign me up. No problem. We don't have any dissenting voices yet. Maybe we'll find one. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
It's not quite time for the madness that is college basketball in March, but that doesn't mean the fun has to wait. DraftKings, the Casino Queen Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving all new players the chance to cash $100. New players can bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week, and if your team makes it rain, you cash $100. That's right. All it takes for one three-pointer being hit by your chosen team to turn $1 into $100. Sounds like a no-brainer. This slam dunk of an offer won't be around forever, so head to the App Store now. Download the DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook app and get in on all of the action. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to its players. They know about big paydays, guys. Download the DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook app now. Use promo code WMVP to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. It's promo code WMVP for new customers to get a shot at 100 to 1 odds on any basketball team of their choosing to hit a three-point shot. It's only with DraftKings and Casino Queen Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older, Illinois only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. Winnings paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
This hour of the show is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Go to ChicagoWolves.com for streaming packages to watch every Wolves game live from home. We are Chicago. We are hockey. We are the Wolves.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hump Day happens to also be Whiskey Wednesday, Yerk. We like to celebrate because we love whiskey, and we love Whiskey Wednesday. And it's brought to you by Bub City. Whiskey Wednesday's back. Bub City has you covered. Reservations are available today on their heated tents and patios that are set up both downtown here in River North, the Chicago location, and out in Rosemont on the promenade. Take the stress out of meal planning and try Bill's original tavern-style pizza, now available for delivery on DoorDash and Uber Eats. That's only out of the Bub City Rosemont location. And don't forget to pick up a bottle of whiskey, bourbon, rye. They've got everything, the selection, the collection. It's amazing at Bub City. And you can take whiskey to go. And the whiskey of the week is the Traverse City Rye Bub City Pick. It's the only place that has Traverse City Rye right now. And Traverse City Rye is really, really good. Sourced MGP, but really, really good stock that they're sitting on. So make sure you get into Bub City and try the whiskey of the week, the Traverse City Rye this week, or take some to go. Tell them Carmen and Yurko sent you. Bub-City.com to learn more and reserve a spot to eat today. The food is fabulous. And yeah, that Rosemont location, they put a pizza oven in, and they're doing pizza in addition to their world-class barbecue now at Bub City. So we love them. Keep going strong, Bub City and all the lettuce.
Stopped dinner the other day. It was delicious.
It's always delicious, my man. Let's go to Harry and Joliet on ESPN 1000. Hey, Harry.
Hey, guys. How are you, man?
Great. How are you?
So I'm doing well. Doing well. Glad to see the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So my family's had them since the 1930s, so we're approaching 90 years.
What?
They were my grandfather's, my dad's, and I've had them for the last 15 or so. But your bathroom scenario, I mean, I live down in Joliet. I'd go either way. The game, I think it was a Monday night game. It was a game Cap Bosso had like a yard of sod on his helmet.
Yeah.
My brother was desperately ready to go to the bathroom but didn't want to miss. He would have missed the end of the game. Fortunately, he had a poncho on, so we got him a big beer cup.
Covered him up?
And he was, because that was the only option he had, but it ended up being three cups. It took a while to get him.
So what did he do? Did he stop midstream and, like, dump it out? Did you have three cups available? What happened?
Well, there were far more than three cups available. There was a little panic in his voice, for sure. So, And my hand did not go under the poncho.
Thank God. Yeah, stopping midstream is tough. I've got to admit, Harry, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say they've had them in the family since the 1930s. I didn't even know they were doing season tickets back in the 1930s. That's incredible.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, again, I don't know if they were season tickets, but they have been passed down. I'm the third.
Wow.
And at the day, my dad's name was the same as mine, so that was easy. But then we did the PSL, so we were able to. Now it's legit. You know,
right.
We had a different middle initial, so we're legit. I mean, that would be a concern of mine. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't want to have a PSL for the
new stadium
fire games. That wouldn't do me much good.
Yeah. No, you'd have to go to the news. You'd have to transfer over. Harry, thanks, man. I mean, since the 1930s.
Well, would they redo PSLs again?
No. I don't know. No.
Would you to do a new round of PSLs?
Mellon, are your tickets PSL tickets? Because not all the...
Right. Mine are not. No, I was interested, but the people who went in with me did not like the idea of the PSLs.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Good question, Yurko. What do they do? They sell a new PSL? Do they transfer? I don't know. The Park District owns that. A
lot of interest.
Because you bought the PSLs through the Bears, not the Park District, right?
You bought it through the Bears.
Hmm. Jackson Lindenhurst. What's up, Jack?
Yeah, you know, first of all, when have the Bears ever made a good decision financially or football-wise? But even if they wanted to, how could they possibly afford to, one, buy the property, and two, build the stadium?
We'd be paying for a huge part of it.
It'd be financed.
Yeah. And the league does give what every team there's like a surplus within the league, right, Yurk? They'll lend money.
There's a building fund where they would lend it to them at a certain rate.
Jack, thanks.
Much lower than what would normally
a bank rate,
be.
Right, or something like that. Yeah, there's money that the league has that they then lend it to the teams to build a new stadium. But we'd be on the hook for a lot of it, though. I'm a Cook County resident. Like, I promise you, I'd be. Whether I want to or not, they do this, I'm on the hook for a lot of it. That's just, right? That's the way it goes. I live in Cook County. That's the way it's going to happen.
Well, I mean, obviously it didn't happen for the Cubs that way.
That's true. But this is going to take a lot more than you're talking about in the billions to buy and build a new stadium on that land.
You would think.
Right? I mean, the Cubs, and it was, it was not a small amount of money, but it wasn't in the billions that they did to renovate the stadium. You're talking about, you can't build a stadium for less than $1.5 billion now, can you?
Well, remember what L.A.'s was, and L.A.'s kind of went over a year.
Yeah.
And I think L.A.'s final tabulation of theirs was close to $5
billion. Wow. $5 billion, let alone $1.5. Oliver on the road. What's up, Oliver?
Hey, what's up?
How are you, man?
What do you got?
Well, I was just thinking that Arlington Heights, you know, if the Bears were to go there, you can easily make Soldier Field Stadium into a playoff-type high school thing for outdoor sports, track, football, baseball, that type of thing.
They used to do the Prep Bowl there. Yeah, I mean, like, they'd have stuff to do there. The Fire play there now. They've moved back.
Right.
That's not a concern. I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah, I mean, they've hosted international soccer tournaments
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. They can continue to do that. And you could still have more at the new stadium in Arlington Heights, too. who knows if they'll be in on this. Like I said, Brian Hanley was one of the first I ever heard talk about it going back over a year now, that there is a buzz. They, like within the horse racing community, the people that are connected, people at, you know, they knew that Churchill was going to sell. Their investment now is at Rivers.
And remember how it started. It started with they wanted slots to be able to compete with other racetracks that were getting slots so they could raise the purses and get the good horses here. That never happened. It happened too late. And they said, the hell with you guys.
We'll continue the conversation tomorrow. We'll take more of your calls. Thank you for calling in and participating and contributing to the show today. Great work by Midway, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and Randy Merkin, our wonderful producers. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Waddle and Sylvie are up at 2. Greeny's next. Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow. Peter King has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Here's the only thing about this Watson thing from Watson's standpoint that really bugs me. Okay? On Labor Day weekend, he took a contract that paid him $27 million over the first 5 months of the deal, over the first season of the deal. And then it's almost like he woke up one morning because one bad thing happened to him. And, you know, he thinks he got jobbed or misled by the owner of the team. And he says, all of a sudden, I'm never playing for you again. Why would any team in the NFL now sign a player long term, particularly a quarterback? You know, look at the cap jail that the Eagles are in because they felt like they had no choice but to trade Carson Wentz. Hmm. So what would motivate a team to sign a player long term? To me, it is a tremendous advantage for the players of this league if the Houston Texans trade Deshaun Watson.